Cultures of Compromise, an interview series conducted during the International Conference History and Theory of Compromise in June 2023, organized by the joint research project Cultures of Compromise. Interview with Professor Alin Fomorescu, conducted by Mathis Knosper and Andrew Wittenbrink. Professor Fomorescu was one of our keynote speakers at the International Conference History and Theory of Compromise. As this brings together a wide range of scholars from different disciplines, we wanted to know with which expectations he traveled to this conference and if he was already able to take away initial insights for his personal research on compromise.
I was looking forward to this precisely because of the different varieties of perspectives on the one hand, and on the other hand, because I'm not very familiar, for example, with, I don't know, German history. I've seen that, like, in the next panel will be about the Sino-Japanese history and stuff like that, which I know pretty much nothing about. So I'm looking forward to basically enlarge a little bit my both historical perspective, but also the comparative perspective on compromise. Also because I think it's important to understand how compromise function or did not function in different cultures.
It is apparent that compromise does not always have the best of reputations. It could be seen as an unsatisfactory solution or a failure of original plans. We then asked Professor Fomorescu what, in his opinion, could put compromise in a better light.
As I mentioned yesterday in my keynote address, I think there is a lot to be learned about how to present compromise in a better life from the Anglo-American tradition. And because in England, starting with the 16th century, was already presented as a virtue for a pretty long period of time, but in America it was presented as a virtue because it was understood to fulfill basically two different expectations of the people. One, which was the Republican expectation, which would be more about the common good, and I'm sacrificing either my private interest or my particular group interest and so on and so forth for the common good. And that's why it was presented as a great compromise. By the way, the Constitution was presented as a great compromise. And on the other hand, because it also satisfied the more, let's say, trade-off liberal, classic liberalism type of approach about like trading off different interests. So it's also something better for satisfied a lot of self-interest, let's put it this way. It's also kind of important to remember that in that period of time, it was the idea of having parties was considered kind of anathema, because basically a party, by definition, does not satisfy the public good.
For his keynote speak at the conference, Professor Fomorescu chose the title The Shame on Compromise, The Politics of Education and the Education of Politics. We were curious if he could tell us more about how his presented ideas developed from his previous research on compromise and why he asked the question of there being a possible shame in connection with compromise.
We have a change in the meaning and the usages of compromise. As I just mentioned, compromise now is more used with a negative connotations, including in the United States, and pretty much kind of across the world. Also, shame changed its meaning as well. I think there is a connection between these two, because whenever a word changes its meaning, it signals some sort of change, a more profound change in the culture, or a societal big change, so to speak. And like compromise, when it started splitting its meaning, happened during the early modernity. And according to my theory, or my argument, if you want, it happened because of the second revolution in information, which was basically the inventing of the printing press, which was so-called, Alexis de Tocqueville said, the democratization of knowledge. And I think this second, nowadays, the fact that these two words again change their meanings, it's related with the third revolution in information, which would be basically the digital revolution and the social media. Precisely because this phenomenon starts now basically spreading all across the world, It's a worldwide phenomenon. I think that it has also worldwide explanation, and the only explanation I could think about being something that's shared by all across the world will be basically the social media.
Moving to the topic of education, we asked Professor Fumurescu how political education can be used to promote compromises and perhaps overcome the possible shame associated with it.
I think it's a very good example that in the United States, and again, it was only happened in the very beginning, basically before the emergence of the party system, so before the 19th century, it was a deliberate effort from both the politicians and the civic educators to educate people in a certain way, in such a way that they would appreciate compromise as a sacrifice for the common good. And as a civic educator said at the end of the 18th century, he said, it's easy to make a republic, but it's very hard to make republicans. So I think that's a phrase, a key phrase that we should remember today. We should kind of remember today.
In our last question, we wanted to know how educators and policymakers can work together to promote compromise and overcome political and social polarization, with special regards to the role society and social media play in this process.
Well, I think that the question can be rephrased in the way, like, how can you change a vicious circle into a virtuous circle? Because it's kind of, for now, we are in a vicious circle, in the sense that as a politician, I don't want to be presented as a compromiser because the public won't vote for me, and so on and so forth. So it basically reinforces the same trends. So the question then becomes, how can you turn upside down this vicious circle, making it a virtuous circle in such a way that the public will come to appreciate the compromisers instead of penalizing the compromisers at the vote? It's, if you want, I don't have a straightforward answer, but I think it's something like the chicken egg type of problem. Will you start with the chicken or the egg? I don't have an answer here, but basically they should kind of like reinforce each other instead of reinforce the positive view instead of reinforcing the negative perspective on compromise. And it's also associated with the social media, because social media basically it's the most important thing that affects public opinion for obvious reasons.
We thank Professor Fumurescu very much for his time and the interesting insights he provided into his research on compromise. If you would like to know more about Professor Fumurescu's research, please follow the links in the introductory note to this interview.